these two dear saints, Simeon and Anna, faithfully anticipating the time and then identifying the infant Jesus. You can read about their testimonies in Luke chapter 2. I'll just read about Anna, verses 36 to 38. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, that is Joseph and Mary and Jesus, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. We don't know in what kind of respect Anna was held at that time, but what a great experience for her at such an age to come face to face with the Chosen One, to recognize the promised King, the King and the Kingdom, and what boldness she had to continue her testimony at the very heart of Judaism in its last temple. Around this time, God gave a sign to some foreign researchers that they interpreted as announcing a new King of the Jews. This was so important to them that they set out to pay their respects to the child. When they came searching, the puppet King Herod made futile and atrocious attempts to prevent any threat that this king posed to his rule. A mere man attempts to thwart God's eternal purposes. By God's instruction, Joseph took Mary and Jesus to Egypt for safety's sake. Jesus, the king who was to come, preserved to reappear out of Egypt, the leader of the true Exodus, who delivered his people into the eternal kingdom by virtue of his sinless life and bearing away their sins through his death on the cross. Throughout Jesus' ministry, generally opposed by the Jewish leaders, there were others who received his ministry and recognized him as God's Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sins. Some wondered and some openly acknowledged and worshipped him. Pilate asked, "So you're a king?" And Jesus' enigmatic answer could be taken as, "Not as you think of kings." One of the thieves crucified alongside him asked Jesus to remember him when the kingdom came. And in his case, Jesus acknowledged that as saving faith. Throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke of his kingdom, the kingdom he wanted his followers to proclaim. Today we're remembering Jesus saying his followers should pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as in heaven. It should be obvious to Jesus' believers that if you pray for something, you may well be involved in bringing about the answer, as we heard a few examples just now. Early on, Jesus sent the 12 on a mission trip. I'll read a few verses from the start of Luke 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Later, Jesus sent another 72 on a mission trip. His instructions were more explicit. Luke chapter 10 again. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." This ministry is for all followers of King Jesus. After he'd risen from the dead, Jesus extended the ministry of disciple making to all his followers. Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to come, where Jesus I'm sorry. They went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Kingdom harvest beckons. Do you remember Jesus' assessment? Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The Lord Jesus himself identifies a huge harvest for those who join in bringing in the kingdom. Let's pray wholeheartedly for more workers for the huge harvest. People who will go to remote places like Ben that we met a couple of weeks ago. People who go to the heart of Blacktown. People such as Bernie, Connie and Crystal, Bay, Tim, JJ in our schools, and Crystal at Horizons Legal. Our friends who work in commerce, those serving in shops, those serving in hospitals. People like you, people like me. If we pray it, "Your kingdom come, Lord, send the workers," we ought to be prepared to be instrumental in the answer. All sorts of people, Jews and Gentiles, people with authority and those without, saw in Jesus something special. Indeed, some worshipped him. And towards the end of his 3 years of public ministry, people began to consider the possibility that he was the promised one that was coming, some gladly, some wonderingly, and some in opposition. His disciples were flummoxed and saddened when he told them he, the Son of Man, would suffer torture and death. He would go away, but he would return, and he promised a keeper, a comforter, while they waited, the Holy Spirit who would be with them and remind them of all he had told them. And more wonderful still, if he went away, he would come back and take them to be with him forever. The King, coming to receive his own and re-establish his reign on the earth, a reign characterized by justice and peace. He will reign forever and ever. Glory to his name. And we wait for the promise of his coming. Some laugh at our beliefs, but a time is coming when every mocker's mocking will be stilled. Second Peter 3, verse 3. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowly. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be holy and live godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. That glorious day will confront every disbeliever. We can hardly bear to imagine the terror with which the mockers will react to the joy that believers will express when Jesus comes to reign, establishing forever his kingdom of justice and peace, restoring the creation to its original wonder and order. And with what joy will believers greet his coming in answer to their oft-repeated longings, echoing the prayer he gave, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven."